Tonight, thousands of Sri Lankans reaching a breaking point. Protesters storming the presidential palace, swimming in the pool, working out in the palace gym, and occupying the president's office.
Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to give you an update on Sri Lanka. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that we've been closely monitoring what's been going on in Sri Lanka. And this is probably the biggest example of a country that has been negatively impacted by the Ukraine war. Sri Lanka was already in a very fragile position at the start of 2022. But what's happened in Ukraine has really pushed the country over the edge. The huge increase in the price of fuel and food and other commodities has really killed off all of the currency that the country had and left them destitute and unable to actually buy in anything. And because it's an island, it is dependent on imports. And we've watched the situation gradually getting worse, and we've now got to a state of anarchy. So over the last few days, we've seen more and more protests, and the protesters have now stormed the presidential palace. They've actually broken through the barriers. They've got into the palace. There's people swimming in the swimming pool, going to the toilet in the presidential suite, all of those sort of things. And it's just been announced that the recently appointed prime minister has decided to resign, and the president is also due to officially resign this week. So we've got a complete breakdown in terms of the ruling position in Sri Lanka. And unlike other situations when you often see this in the developing world, there's nobody who's stepping forward to take over. So quite often you'll see a strong opposition party forcing out the existing rulers. That isn't the situation here. What we've got is the people of Sri Lanka are extremely unhappy about what's going on. They're protesting. The ruling people have decided to leave, and now we've got nobody taking over. And this is a major problem because Sri Lanka has been in discussions with the IMF about a bailout facility. But the way that the IMF works is that for a bailout facility to be provided, they want to see reform and restructuring put in place that gives the country the opportunity to get back onto its feet. And if you don't have a ruling party, then that's going to be a big problem. So in today's episode, I'll give you a recap of the exact situation in Sri Lanka. We'll talk about how it got itself into this position. We'll have a look at the president because he's been a big part of all of the problems. We'll look at when he was appointed and how all those troubles started. We'll talk about the prime minister that he appointed recently. And then we'll go on to look at the food and fuel crisis and the economic indicators because inflation is starting to take off and everything is starting to crumble in Sri Lanka. And then finally today I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen over the next 3 to 6 months and what the implications of this are for the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget I always include chapters so you can skip over things if you're not that interested in them. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube's Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. Sri Lanka has a population of around 22 million people and is an island that's situated off the south coast of India. The main resources that Sri Lanka has are its land and its people. It doesn't have a lot of valuable raw materials that the rest of the world wants to buy, so it relies upon low labour manufacturing, mainly of textiles and clothing, and also the export of tea from its plantations, which are a legacy from the time when it was part of the British Empire. Sri Lanka is a beautiful island with lots of interesting wildlife, and historically tourism was a big revenue generator for the country. However, COVID dealt a devastating blow to the tourist industry in 2020 and 2021. And alongside that devastating impact, the president who was elected in 2019 made a number of mistakes that have led the country to the brink of bankruptcy. And they included reducing a variety of taxes in the country and banning the use of chemical fertilizers. So the combination of all of those factors left Sri Lanka in a very perilous state at the start of 2022. And the war in Ukraine has been the final straw for the country because they import large amounts of food and fuel. And if you've been following the channel, you'll know full well that the price of food and fuel has risen dramatically since the start of the Ukraine crisis. We have seen an increase of at least 50% in all of the key commodities that Sri Lanka buys in. As a result of these price increases, Sri Lanka has now completely run out of currency and no longer has any cash to buy in food and fuel. And over the last couple of months, it's been relying upon charity from India and China, both of whom have been providing lines of credit and supplying it with essential basics to keep the country ticking over. Since the start of the crisis, we have seen a number of large-scale protests in Sri Lanka, and many of these have erupted into violence, and there's been a number of injuries and some deaths. As the situation has got worse, the people of Sri Lanka have got more frustrated, and the frequency and intensity of these protests has risen. On Saturday, the 8th of July, thousands of protesters converged in Colombo in one of the biggest anti-government protests the crisis island has ever seen. Soldiers and police at the president's official residence, which is located near to the protest site, were unable to hold back the crowd, calling for his resignation. Hundreds of protesters packed into rooms and corridors in the presidential palace, shouting slogans against the president. Footage of protesters jumping into the presidential swimming pool were widely circulated on social media. Protesters later broke into the home of the prime minister and set it on fire. Video footage on local news channels showed flames coming from his home in the affluent Colombo neighbourhood. The Prime Minister has subsequently announced that he will step down to allow an all-party interim government to take over. The President has also announced that he is scheduled to quit on July the 13th. Around 45 people have been admitted to hospital over these incidents, but there are currently no reports of any deaths. Some often asked what the collapse of a country and an economy looks like, and Sri Lanka is as close as you're going to get. When a country can no longer afford to buy the basics, such as food and fuel, then that leaves people destitute and desperate. And what happens then is that they protest. And quite often you get a change of government. And that's exactly what we're seeing in Sri Lanka now. But the problem I think we've got right now in Sri Lanka is that it's a poison chalice. Nobody really wants to take over power because the country doesn't have any natural resources. It doesn't have anything that it can use to put itself back on its feet. It doesn't have large reserves of gold or oil or anything of that nature. So it's really relying upon charity to get itself through the next 3 to 6 months. And beyond that, it's hard to see how it's going to get back onto an even keel. So this really is a very difficult position for somebody to step into. And although the people are protesting against the existing president, and he has certainly made some mistakes, there's no guarantee that when somebody new takes over, that that's going to sort out any of Sri Lanka's problems. This chart shows the inflation rate for Sri Lanka over the last 12 months. And you can see that there has been a rapid increase in inflation over the last few months, and we're now above 54%. Now, 54% is obviously the average figure, and it's reported that food inflation is currently running above 80%. And in a situation like Sri Lanka's in right now, things like food and fuel are the very basic items that most people are interested the most. And as we've discussed a lot on the channel, if you don't have a lot of money, then you spend a very high percentage of your income on things like food. And when food inflation is running at 80%, that means that it's becoming unaffordable for people. They don't have any savings, they don't have anything to fall back upon. So when you get such a big increase, it just means that you can afford to buy less of it. So therefore you eat less, you get hungry, you get angry, and that's when you get big protests like we've got right now in Sri Lanka. This chart shows the balance of trade for Sri Lanka over the last 5 years, and this really highlights the problem that the country is facing. They're running at a negative balance of trade, and they have been doing consistently for the last 5 years. So that means that they're spending more than they're earning. Sri Lanka is a net importer. It's importing really expensive items such as fuel and food. And as you'll know if you follow the channel, since the start of the Ukraine war, all of those items have risen by around 50%. So Sri Lanka was already running at a negative balance of trade, but it's likely that the situation is going to get significantly worse going forward. So this is really why I'm highlighting the fact that whoever takes over, there is no magic wand. There's no way of solving this problem. Sri Lanka needs cash. It needs cash from somewhere, and there's no obvious solution. This chart shows the movement in the Sri Lankan rupee over the last 12 months. And you can see that there's been a dramatic fall in the value of the rupee since the country ran out of currency. And of course, for a net importer, this is a disaster. Because when you're having to buy things in the international markets, in dollars, a fall in the value of your home currency means that all of those items become more expensive for your consumers. So if I give you an example here, 12 months ago, one US dollar equated to 200 Sri Lankan rupee. So if you were buying in an item that was trading for one US dollar in the international market, it was going to cost somebody 200 Sri Lankan rupees. The exchange rate is now $1 to 360 Sri Lankan rupees. So that same $1 item will now cost somebody 360 rupees. So it's almost double the price for the same amount of US dollars. But it's worse than that because the price of food and fuel has actually risen by around 50% in international dollar terms. So that $1 item would now cost around $1.50 in the international markets. So in Sri Lankan rupee terms, that would be 540 rupees. So that means that it's almost three times the cost of what it was this time last year. So that gives you a bit of an understanding as to why things have got so bad in Sri Lanka. And of course, with the negative balance of trade, they don't have any currency reserves whatsoever. They've been buying things in the international markets, and to do that, you have to use dollars. And Sri Lanka are now completely out of dollars. And we've heard reports of oil tankers coming to the island, but turning away because the Sri Lankan authorities simply don't have any money to pay for those deliveries. So that's why there's no fuel on the island, and that's why there's a real food shortage, because Sri Lanka is now fully dependent on charity. It needs countries like India and China and potentially even Russia to come along and give them credit. So give them all of those deliveries for free or build up some debt. And of course, there are some issues associated with that in the long term. Since joining the IMF, Sri Lanka has obtained loans on 16 different occasions from the IMF and currently has loans outstanding of $892 million. The proposed bailout loan that Sri Lanka has requested from the IMF is $3 billion, which equates to around 5.2 times Sri Lanka's quota with the IMF, which is obviously more than the 4.35 times standard rules for borrowing. However, the situation that Sri Lanka's in certainly justifies exceptional circumstances. Sri Lanka has been in discussion with the IMF with regards to a proposed $3 billion bailout. And the country absolutely needs that urgently because at the moment it doesn't have any cash to be able to pay for food and fuel. And at some point that means that they're going to run out of absolutely everything and then we would have utter chaos in the country. So it's essential to get that deal done. But the way that the IMF works is that they want governments to put forward a plan and a strategy to get the country back onto its feet. So they want to see tax reforms and investment for growth and other initiatives that show that the country has got over all of the problems it's been experiencing and that it's got some sort of program in place to get back to a situation where it doesn't need to keep asking for bailouts. The problem that Sri Lanka has right now is firstly, the fundamentals are not very good. So when you look at the country, historically, it's relied upon agriculture and tourism. Now, tourism has been badly affected by COVID. In 2020 and 2021, there was a huge reduction in the amount of tourists that went to the island. And that meant that they had less revenue and they also had less currency because international travellers bring international currency with them. And since the Ukraine war started, things have got a lot worse. And the problem that we've got now is that the anarchy that's being shown all around the world on the TV and the disruption that we've got is really not attractive for future tourism. It's not the sort of place you want to go and have a relaxing holiday if people are setting fire to the Prime Minister's house. In addition to that, the political instability is also not attractive for international investment. So one of the ways that Sri Lanka could find its way out of this situation is to work with other countries, get some international investment, build some infrastructure, and then hopefully make some revenue from that infrastructure. But as it stands at the moment, the chaos and anarchy going on in Sri Lanka is really not conducive to anybody setting up a program to invest billions of dollars into the country. And then the final factor is that now that we've had a complete resignation of all of the rulers of the country, it's now a rudderless ship. And this is a difficult situation to sort out because there's no obvious leader that wants to take control of the country. And it's very likely that whoever does so is going to get a lot of negative press. This is a difficult gig. Turning around Sri Lanka's fortunes right now is really, really challenging. So I don't know what's going to happen. It doesn't look like there's a lot of candidates stepping forward. And if a country doesn't have a leader, then it can't put all the economic policies and everything else into place. And that really does put a big question mark over the IMF bailout facility. And if Sri Lanka doesn't manage to land that facility, then that means that they will genuinely run out of everything because it's an island. And at that stage, it's looking extremely grim for the people of Sri Lanka. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I think what we're seeing in Sri Lanka is really a complete breakdown of society. The country is a net importer, and until it gets to a situation where it can find other ways of earning revenue, it's reliance upon charity and overseas investment. Over the last few years, China have been investing money into the country. They've been setting up a number of different programs and infrastructure investments. And one of the things that I reported on in previous videos is that we had a situation with a major port in Sri Lanka, a port called Hambantota, and the Chinese provided a lot of debt finance for that. Sri Lanka got into difficulty. They couldn't maintain all of the payments. And because they went into default, they signed a deal with the Chinese, giving them a 99-year lease over that port. So essentially, China now owns a small part of Sri Lanka. And there are international concerns about that, that China could use it to set up a military base, for example. So given the fact that it's got a negative balance of trade, it's really difficult for Sri Lanka to be able to get itself out of this position. It really needs strong leadership and a program of investment over the next few years to get itself to a situation where the balance of trade is positive and then it can start paying its way in the world. But unfortunately, in the short term, we have got a complete breakdown. They're out of cash, they're out of fuel, and they're rapidly running out of food. So they are entirely dependent right now on charity. And the fact that the existing rulers have all resigned is making the situation worse. Sri Lanka really needs somebody to take control of this situation rather than everybody bailing out. And on the issue of bailout, the IMF $3 billion deal that looked like it was getting close to completion now looks like it could fall apart. And if that happens, then Sri Lanka is in a really bad situation. India has provided over $1.5 billion worth of aid so far, but that hasn't been enough. Sri Lanka needs a lot more, so it may need India to reach deeper into its pockets and really help the country out. Now, China was also reported previously to be talking to the president about a potential bailout situation. However, it's unclear whether or not China want to do that in conjunction with India or whether or not they were trying to do it independently. The third potential country that could get involved is Russia. I recently reported on a tanker that was delivered to the island from Russia, and there is a possibility that Russia could use this as an opportunity to further develop its relations with Sri Lanka. Obviously, Russia has been selling oil to India, so it wants to develop its Asian connections. So this could be something else that would benefit it. And potentially also, Russia could do some infrastructure investment in the same way as China has, and maybe even get involved in the Colombo port city development that the Chinese have been funding to set up an international tax haven. But the overall summary here is that the situation in Sri Lanka is dire. This is an awful state of affairs. The country is in meltdown. This is what a country in collapse looks like, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody. They need somebody to take control, and they need a major investment of cash rapidly to get themselves out of this situation. As it sits right now, this is the worst example of a country that's been badly affected by what's going on in Ukraine. It's impossible to know exactly what will happen over the next 3 to 6 months, but it's going to be serious in Sri Lanka. And of course, as I've said many times before, the whole world is interconnected these days, so bad news in Sri Lanka will generally have a ripple impact and it will affect the global economy. Somebody is going to have to pay for this bailout and future deliveries of food and fuel and everything else that Sri Lanka needs. So I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments as and when they happen. Hopefully you've enjoyed what I've said today. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me that thumbs up. And don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.